Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
All right, welcome to Extra Points, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you Monday, April 12th, with his good pal, Dave Damashek. It's Mina Kimes Monday, Dave. We have Mina Kimes on today.
Oh, she's the tops. Love Kimes. This is already like Babe Ruth in 32 and Wrigley. I'm going to point out the center field and call our shot here. This is going to be a good one, Sal. I'm excited.
Really? Oh, wow. Okay, wait. So I'm trying to figure out how that turned out. He hit a home run, right?
That's what happened there. I have a major strikeout for both you and me, Sal. Well, really, for us. But Rachel Bonetta was with us last week, your old pal and my new pal. Here on the Extra Points Network, of course, declared publicly and purposely, which is why it's extra weird that you would do it, knowing that it's being recorded into a microphone for posterity. She said that she puts ranch dressing on her pizza. And not only that, that's, I guess, fine. You can do what you want. But with pineapple and ham is grotesque. I asked the wife about it over the weekend. Her response was, yeah, that's me all day. That's the standard. That's the default setting for any pizza. Like, yeah, put ranch on it. It's bad, Sal. I think that we're losing this battle. Perhaps we should just move along to our better taste buds island.
The numbers will dictate that we are sort of losing the, I mean, I thought that when we put this on a poll, I thought we'd win 85-15 or something. No, the ranchers would have to get lost. But Jim Cunningham, what isn't it like 56-44 or something or against ranch? It just drives me crazy that the margin is so close. Didn't we see 56-44? I don't know what's going on. It's just
hold on, I'll give you the latest.
It makes me sick. And she sent us a video over the weekend. She said, oh, it's Ranch Friday or something. And I pretended to not watch it. I was like, joke's on you. I'm not watching this crap. It's worse, Dave, that she even, it's not dipping. It went from dipping to dousing. I mean, the pizza's completely covered with ranch dressing.
Yeah. It's ranch soup with with pizza as one of the ingredients of her ranch soup.
Yeah,
it's gross.
Well, good going, Ranchel Bonetta, because now we have a dilemma on our hands. I mean, we may have to let her go.
Yeah.
Let's talk Masters, because we have Mina calling in a few minutes. Congratulations, Hideki Matsuyama, Japan's first Masters champ, first Japanese male to win the major, 29 years old, lowest scoring amateur back in the 2011 Masters, had finished tied for second 2017, wins it 4-stroke lead going into Sunday, Dave. And I bet him, I'm going to say, I had Cantlay, I had Schauffele, I had all those guys, I had Morikawa, Patrick Reed. And then I saw Sunday, I was like, he's making a charge. And he went from 4-1 odds on FanDuel to +135 in a matter of like one Justin Rose stroke. Right at the end of Saturday, I said, I'm hedging. I am betting I'm betting Matsuyama. And I ended up winning on a rare, rare hedge that worked out for me. Did you catch a lot of this?
I did. I watched it. It was a good sports weekend or a good sports Sunday. I saw a lot of complaining about the back nine at Augusta. It wasn't exciting enough for a lot of people's taste. I don't know what that means, but it was good stuff with twin chokes. Matsuyama, it appeared, was about to choke it away in legendary fashion. And then Schauffele returns the favor on 16. I love stuff like this because you want, ultimately, as a fan, if you're a sports fan and you love watching these guys on TV, it's something that we talk about all the time. It's the guys who in the big spot can still come through, even though everybody is watching them do it and saying, this is his moment. Can he do it in that moment? And to be reminded that they, even at the highest end, and maybe it happens in golf more than any other sport, but that these guys, as the countless times that they're on the range, beating it out, trying to, perfect the thing. When you're on the back nine at Augusta, you can still choke. There's something captivating about that. But Schauffele really let him off the hook, didn't he?
Well, he had, and everyone was again, Matsuyama, they're like, oh, he is going to choke. I was like, wow, he has a 4-stroke lead going into Sunday, and he's about even odds at that point. I said, why is he going to choke? I think he has consecutive eight Masters rounds with par or better. I'm like, I'm rooting for the guy. I know there's a bunch of guys at minus seven. He's minus 11. But yeah, you're right. Schauffele gave it back. He fought back to two-stroke deficit. And then on 16, a very birdieable hole, he triple bogeys. And this is what gets me crazy. After the tournament, they interview him. And what does he say? He hits the water on 16. He misjudged the wind, apparently, is that what he says. He thought the wind was in his favor, 10 yards. It was against him, 10 yards. So it ends up in the drink. But what does he say, Dave? This drives me crazy. He says, I have no regrets about that tee shot.
That's right. That's right.
What do you mean?
At least I can let him off the hook.
Oh, come on.
At least it's just him and his caddy who he has to look at. Yes, disgusting. But yes, it's all to purge yourself of sort of any individual responsibility, which is harder to do in golf. But, you know, the most infamous version of that to me is as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan is after the heavily favored Steelers lost to double digit dog Patriots with Drew Bledsoe having to take over for Tom Brady in January of 2002. Cordell throws atrocious second half interceptions to throw that game away. And in the post game, they say, Cordell, any regrets about the performance today? And his response was, no, not at all. Cordell, there were 65,000 Yinzers walking out of the stadium that day. And I can assure you, we were all sick in the balls, sir. We all had plenty of regrets. Plenty to pass along to you, Cordell. Dave. Yeah.
Do you have regrets of driving out to that game? Yes, I would rather have stayed home and not been miserable waiting in line to exit the parking lot. All these guys, Pete Carroll, do you have regrets running the ball? Nope. Give me 10 different chances. I'll do it every time at the goal line. Like, what? The idea is to win. It doesn't make you look any better if you say you have no regrets. Like, yeah, you would have used a different club, right? Come on. If you could do it over, of course you would do it over with a different club or a different philosophy or a different tactic going at that hole. You don't make yourself look any better by saying, I have no regrets. I would do it 1,000 times. I'd hit it.
If you don't, but then again, trying to like figure out the mentality of this, and you were more of a high-end athlete in high school than I was. I was buried at the end of the bench if I was even on the bench. But you need that pressure release valve after the fact, right? I mean, everything's like, there is no tomorrow. Today defines the rest of your days. What you do on the mat today will resonate for decades beyond in your brain and in your heart, Sal. Like, and then if you lose, you got to be like, that's just a sport. You did your best. Like, you know, you have to be able to let yourself off the hook or else you'd go insane, right? You'd fall into devastating depression.
Yeah, but it's not. It's just not true. He's not being honest. I mean, of course he regrets it. He probably didn't sleep at all last night, Xander. But Matsuyama was between 40 and 50 to 1 odds Thursday morning. Did you notice how he putted to win the whole thing? He putts off balance. He misses the par putt. He had a couple strokes to play with. And then he the bogey putt, like 2.5 feet out. He's basically on one foot, like Fred Astaire. He's on 1 foot. And putts it in. I was like, I thought that would be the worst choke of all time. I think putting on 1 foot.
Because that crosses my mind every single time when the broadcasters, as much as they doom and gloom it along the way, right before the 18th, they declare like, well, the green jacket is Matsuyama's now. Like he just has to get off the, well, there's the tee shot and he's going to win. And as he's walking up the fairway, he's going to win. Now he's in the sand trap. Mm. And like the whole way, he just has to two putt. Like all that would be so massive. The things you've done countless times, all of a sudden with the green jacket right there for the taking, I think it would impact the way you do things. And if you had what Matsuyama had, the cinch, the green jacket, that I think it was about a 12-inch, 15-inch punt to knock it in. And like you say, he just walks up and would you half-ass it to look cool and casual, or would you like dead serious, hover over that thing, line it up from 17 different angles? It's like there's a certain amount of pressure to play it cool. Like, well, this is a gimme putt. I'm just going to bank this one in. But if you roll that one off the edge, then it plagues you for the rest of your
day. I think I circle that thing. I play it. How long do you get before they call for time? Like 3 minutes? I keep everyone in great suspense there.
Oh, take it all. Sure. I, if nothing I get else,
Yeah, I get on all fours, see what kind of grade I'm putting against, and I probably would end up 54-46, much like our ranch experiment, if I made it or not. Yeah, I think you make them wait it out.
Yeah, that was, and I loved the caddy, though. That was a new turn. I'd never seen that. He puts the flag stick back in at 18th, yes. And he bowed to the hole, essentially, I guess, honoring the whole course, which was a cool move, too.
Yeah, he did. But they take the flag, right? The caddies take the flag, but yeah, he did bow. Yeah, that is some course. It's a lot of fun, Masters. And I just want to say real quick, because we have Mina now in the waiting room. Uh-oh. No one won in our Extra Points Futures League. Hench had Spieth, Harry had Xander, and I now have the lead with Baylor winning, and we have all kinds of futures we drafted. There's soccer, there's baseball, there's who's going to lead at the All-Star break. We have other golf tournaments. Dave, you're going to have to make your move soon.
I think the one that I'm looking forward to, if memory serves, I have to check the grid to confirm this. I'm pretty sure I locked in Justin Wilson at two, Justin Fields at three, and I think that's still the way it's going to go. I just refuse to believe that Kyle Shanahan has such an ego that that's what he's going to do. Not only am I going to take Mac Jones, I'm going to trade into that spot and take Mac Jones. And that will serve as my ongoing middle finger to you, NFL, because everybody else thinks I'm crazy for doing this.
Let's talk to Mina about this because she's an expert. She's been studying this stuff. And in the meantime, Joel, look that up. I don't think Dave has all those futures lined up. I think in his head he did that. I don't think he really drafted that. But please look
wait
that
a
up.
Second. That's a great for that's what should be the name of Mina Kimes next podcast.
What
in
is it?
In Mina Times. In Mina Kimes.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll
workshop it with her since she's here.
All right, let's bring in our guest. She's the best thing, I think, Dave, to happen to ESPN since Australian rules football. And trust me, that's a goddamn compliment. It really is. Guys, Mina Kimes is here. What's happening, Mina?
Sounds like you didn't watch Cornhole last summer, if you're making that kind of statement. ACL is what you're the right. American Cornhole League is, which is interesting. I guess no one's torn their ACL.
Oh my God. So. Yeah, that's true. That's so ironic. I you know what? I'm going to have to redo my list, but I will say, speaking of lists, Mina, you were on my bucket list of people I wanted to meet in 2021. And this audio Zoom connection is going to have to count. I'll take it. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Dave, of course, is my old friend. So I'm excited to be here.
You know, Dave, yes, for a long time. And you still agreed to come on the podcast. We're really wrapped up in this NFL draft. Dave has told me, I think this is a lean time of year after the NCAA tournament, after the Masters. We have, I'm looking now, 4 weeks till hockey playoffs, 6 weeks till basketball playoffs. Thank God. Dave's still trying to convince me that Pittsburgh, Philadelphia Flyers for the seventh time in 11 days is going to be glorious. But no, I'm looking forward to this draft. I imagine you are as well.
Yeah, I feel like this draft is also more, I guess, juicier, maybe is the word, than last year's. And I mean, last year there was some controversy over what would the Dolphins do and whatnot? Would they actually take Tua? But this year it seems like after picks one and now two, it's open season, which for our industry is basically a stimulus of content.
Yeah,
it is. That's exactly right. And the diminishment of my beloved puck, notwithstanding. Yes, the NFL draft keeps things nice and juicy here in springtime as we await postseason play in NBA and NHL. But Kimes, let's get to the matter at hand here. I mean, my main takeaway in a juicy quarterback class and a relatively... by comparison to the ones we've seen in the last half decade, 2022 probably not as rich at QB as it stands right now. I mean, Russell Wilson said he wanted to get traded again for the second time in 3 years. And now it's a big pronouncement to Dunlap and company. I'm coming back. I'm back in.
This seems
like a bad, there is a shelf life. Our producer, Joel, dug it up, and I know you love nothing more than QB wins as a conversation.
Oh, no. What?
But there is a point.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, really. But listen, Russell Wilson has reached a place, it's an eternity since he even reached a title game. Would it be best, not just for Russell Wilson, but for the Seattle Seahawks, to move on and try and get one of those high-end quarterbacks in the 2021 draft? How say you?
I say no. I say I can't tell if you're serious or if you're just
Welcome to my world. Yeah.
Just okay.
No, he's serious.
Well, I do appreciate you saying one of the high end quarterbacks, because for weeks during the great Will Russell Wilson be traded saga of, you know, our opinion shows like this spring, I had to endure trade proposals that were downright insulting, right? Like the Bears reportedly offered like 3 first round picks and a couple defensive players they were going to cut anyways. That package would have been less than what San Francisco gave up to get ostensibly Mac Jones, Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson. And we forget with quarterbacks, even near the top, it's like at best a 50% hit rate. I believe it's lower, which doesn't mean you shouldn't try to take a quarterback, but you really don't know. You know what you got in Russell Wilson. I understand the benefits of having a young guy on a rookie contract, but to me, unless it was a Trevor Lawrence, it would be a wild roll of the dice for Seattle. And the only way it would be worth it is if you actually believed Russell Wilson was willing to hold out, which has never been on the table in all of this. So I don't understand why. I understand why we're having this conversation, because Russell Wilson clearly is a dissenter or whatever. But from Seattle's perspective, it's never made sense to me.
And why would it make sense to Russell Wilson? This is another argument Dave and I got into. He's like, oh, the Jets should gobble him up. They should offer him whatever. It's like, hold on. This is a two-way street. He has a no-trade clause. He listed 4 teams. One of them certainly wasn't the Jets. Why would he leave to become the, is the idea to become a Super Bowl champion, or is the idea to just get out of Seattle? And I agree with you. I don't think it was to just get out of Seattle. I don't even think he really ever wanted to. I think he was just a little butthurt after the season. They need to protect him a little more, but the Jets wasn't an option. And I don't think the Bears was going to be a great option either. Right?
No, that was the weirdest thing about the list of trade destinations. It was like Chicago, Dallas, Vegas, New Orleans.
Right.
And we were like trying to connect the dots and try to find a theme between those teams. But there, like, a theme did not really exist. Not even like cities with a great food scene or something. I don't know. We were digging really deep trying to figure out what he wanted. The one place that would have made sense to me is if he said, I want to go to Miami. That's actually a good football team. They had a high draft pick that I could have seen potentially, but it was never an option that he put out there. And so, you know, we just had to deal with the ones he gave us, and they all seem kind of bonkers to me.
Yeah.
Seems to me, and I can further explain my point about Russell Wilson if you so desire. Nah. But as it stands, okay, you don't have to. That was rhetorical. Neither one of you actually had to make a noise in response to that. It was understood. I was moving on. Now, I say that the Seahawks, as constituted, we'll wait and see what happens in the draft, of course. I think there are closer. This isn't just to poke the bear once again, but I think they're closer to fourth place in the NFC West than they are first, as they and the other 3 teams in the division are constituted. How say you, Kimes?
I disagree with that. I do think that they're not the favorites to repeat, so I am reasonable. I'm a reasonable woman, not a full homer. But I think...
Well, Rams are the heavy favorite, right?
They're the favorite. They're the favorite, but I have doubts about them too, because that roster, they did lose a couple of key pieces in the secondary and the defensive coordinator. And as we know, great defenses, sorry about your Steelers next year, are less likely to repeat year to year than great offenses. Now they're counting on an upgrade from Stafford, which I believe will happen. But that defense has some question marks in the back and linebacker in the secondary. And then I would say the Niners, still a question mark at quarterback. We have no idea what's happening. Maybe I'm giving you a segue there if you want to talk about that. And then the Cardinals, again, I like the trade for Hudson and you know, Watts interesting, but that secondary also ton of question marks. And I'm not sure if the offense has really improved that much either.
Yeah. Let's lay it out odds wise. Cause we're talking about the Rams are a favorite, not a heavy favorite. I mean, you're right. +175 to win the division, the 49ers second at 2-1, Seahawks +293, at third, and Arizona +550. Yeah, I this is not a team that's in jeopardy of going 3-13 or 4-12, right? They're going to have between 8 and I would say 11 or 12 wins a year, right? So you got to win those close division games. I think they have some, I think you get lucky with the out of division games, right? Do you have the NFC North something? I'm pretty sure like you have the Lions, you have a couple of clunkers on there that could you know, propel you to the playoffs at least. And then it's kind of a crapshoot. I think you're in good shape there.
I think our 17th game is Pittsburgh, actually. The
Kimes-Damashek
showdown.
Wow.
That's precisely right. And you'll get yours, as will the rest of the world, with this Avenge Tour 2021. It's taking another go round here.
Avenge.
Wow. I do want to hear what you think about that.
Brutal.
What goes on there. But like you touched on there, at three, do you really believe? Because it feels like an ego move. And this is just like high-end quarterbacks have big egos, so too do the play callers in pro football. But this seems like a wild swing from Kyle Shanahan if he really does end up going Mac Jones. I get that he's had success with Matt Ryan and Jimmy G, but you don't say, well, let's go three overall and let's also trade away a bunch of stuff to get to that spot so that you can take Jimmy G part two, right? I mean, that's basically what Mac Jones is, isn't he?
I called him Jimmy H on NFL Live, which Jimmy G, some Alabama fans did not love, by the way. Jimmy G is not bad. And Jimmy
H is
better. H is after G. Yeah, I think it's like we're kind of all trying to read the tea leaves, read the sources. Who's got the good sources? Because God knows I don't. I'm just listening to Adam Schefter like the rest of you. But to me, like empirically, the question is, does Kyle Shanahan, who we assume is pulling the lever, we don't know, does he want the quarterback who is best equipped to operate his beautiful offense in his mind because the offense is the star, not the actual player? Or does he want the player who might elevate it or take it in a different direction? My opinion, not on what he's going to do because I truly don't know, but what I think they should do, I've been wrong the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years on two players, Josh Allen and Justin Herbert. Herbert less so than Allen. And Allen, of course, made an unprecedented leap. But to me, I've had to cuss on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I've had to really eat,
yeah, let it go.
Eat shit on those guys. And my feeling is I had to eat shit because I prioritized production in college over traits. And so if I was an evaluator in 2021, I would look at that and I'd look at some of the other quarterbacks and I'd say, I'm choosing the traits guys. And Mac Jones is not the traits guy.
You know, if you want to, I'll make Alabama fans even angrier at me because I think this is a real. So now he's at minus 300. I always have to bring the odds up here because Trevor Lawrence, that's unbettable at number one. He's minus 6,000. Number two, Zach Wilson, who a couple weeks ago was a toss up at number two, he's now minus 3,000. You can't bet that. Now we're at minus three, and you have about a day or two to bet this before the rumors get out of control. And Mac Jones is a 3-1 favorite to get picked there. Fields plus 250 and Trey Lance plus 350. My thing with what did we learn about the Alabama quarterback? At best, you could say is Tua was third best, right? Out of those rookie quarterbacks drafted. I don't know. Now you're saying, all right, maybe it is the system. We're seeing a Heisman Trophy winner was a wide receiver for Alabama. And then you would still go out of your way and trade up for Mac Jones. It doesn't make any sense to me. And that's why I would take a chance on like a Trey Lance, right? A better built player at plus 350, runs that pro style offense. 80% of his plays were play action, which is where San Francisco thrived in 2019. I think they were third most passing yards under the play action formation. I'm taking a chance here, but I feel like midweek we're going to learn that it's Mac Jones and we're still going to be scratching our heads.
Oh, Trey Lance is a tank, man. Like when you watch that 2019 day, he looks like a big brother playing with toddlers out there at North Dakota State. And again, he is the ultimate traits guy in this class. I was last week watching, so I've been cramming my draft tape. I was watching Oregon just to see Penei Sewell again one more time and confirm, oh, right, this person who I don't really understand this position at a high level, but I can tell he is dominating at it. And when you watch that Oregon offense, it sucks. It is boring. There are not good skill players. And Justin Herbert doesn't look good. When I watched it, I was like, was that crazy? Right? Because he's so awesome in the NFL. And when you watch the college tape, he doesn't look good in college. And you realize, man, this guy was really held back by his circumstances. And again, maybe you don't want, as you're saying about Mac, Ben, and Tua, maybe you don't want to bet on the guys in the ideal circumstances because they won't be ideal when they get to the NFL.
Well, that's right. If you can't do that math, then you're not going to succeed, I assume, as a personnel guy in pro football. But right, I am always spooked a little bit. I'm a pedigree snob on one hand, but on the other hand, I'd be awfully concerned about drafting the passenger to the 18-wheel juggernaut in college football. Matt Leinart at USC wasn't that long ago is a good example of what I'm talking about. But Trey Lance is, you say, traits guy, relative in the context of a Patrick Mahomes-dominated NFL. He is a Patrick Mahomes traits guy. To me, Justin Fields is the answer at three for San Francisco over Trey Lance. I guess you could groom him, do the thing of Jimmy G for a year, and then turn over the keys to Trey Lance in 2022. I think Justin Herbert, though, to after that 42-second monologue, I feel like Justin Herbert and the Chargers, as much as we love Patrick Mahomes and everything else, I think that's the team to beat in the AFC West this year. How say you to that bold take?
I've gone against you in the past, Dave. Never forget that fateful day at Rams training camp at 2018, 19. When did the Niners go to those?
What happened there? What to tell everybody that story?
Kind of. Yeah, I'm eating shit again, yet again.
I don't mean it's not to denigrate you. It's to celebrate
you,
no,
you
me.
Didn't,
don't
I
you
volunteered
understand?
This story. Let okay. the record hold. You didn't ask for it. You didn't tell it. I offered it up on a plate, so I'm there.
All I ever want is a parade. Why can't I have a parade? Throw one.
I'm giving you the verbal equivalent of a parade. So I'm there. I'm sweaty. I'm hot. I'm scouting the preseason Rams. And who do I see? Dave Damashek doing a hit, corner of the field. Eddie Spaghetti was there, I'm pretty sure. And he comes up to me and we're talking about the NFC West and my Seahawks, my beloved Seahawks. And he says to me, you know what? I think San Francisco's going to win the division. This is 19. Yeah.
19, yeah.
And I laughed in his face. I'm not going to lie.
With you know what you said? With that secondary? That's what you said.
Yeah.
Did you say that?
I did say that.
Well, what? Beware Shanny, what he's going to build there. So listen. So yeah, I know great. I know my Western portion of Football America times. I'll say you. I really do like the way they're constituted, the Chargers. I like Justin Herbert in year two. I know the assumption is Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback of all time, and perhaps he is, but I think that the Super Bowl in which he just played and lost because of the bad offensive line still stands as the best roster he's ever going to be on going forward. That was the best team that he'll ever be on, unless it was the Super Bowl winning team 2 years ago.
If Patrick Mahomes has to play behind an offensive line like the one we saw in the Super Bowl, yuck. Ever yeah. again, the entire Chiefs organization should be fired. I disagree with you. I think that was the worst offensive line he will ever play behind.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Right. Yes, that offensive line on that Super Sunday. I mean, but that
mean the
roster
run.
Is as fleshed out a top to bottom roster
until the Super
for
Bowl.
That season. Right.
And if he had had an average offensive line, he would have won because he is the best quarterback I've ever seen. I will not pick against him. I disagree with you. However, I do believe the Chargers are a playoff team.
I think so too, Dave. I don't think the play is plus 450 to win the division because the Chiefs are, again, what are they going to go? What's their basement? 10 wins? 10 and 7? Well, now you have 17 games. So 10 and 7 now.
I don't like that.
Hate that. Still not, right. Never going to get used to that.
I know. I know. I have to redo it in my head every time. It's not going to be good. But yeah, Chiefs at minus 390. Maybe the Chargers get a wild card and make some noise. It could be the Bucks of last year. Bucks lost 5 games and still in the mix. They beat, that Washington quarterback whose name everyone forgot. And then it was a glorious run with Breeze, Rodgers, and Mahomes.
All right. It's four. Oh, wait. So it'll be like 10 months from now, you know, once again, or 9 months from now, you can wipe the confetti that just fell down in the Damashek parade the times just threw and say, like, you were right again, Dave. Then you'll have to throw me another parade. That's your
I
choice.
Just think you take them at 16-1 to win the AFC versus winning the division. What do they care? It is weird that they were both 12-4. It was 2 years ago, right? That they were both 12-4 and the Chiefs won the division on a tiebreaker. But
well, I mean, the way those things seed out is everything. And you know, it becomes a little footnote in history. But of course, you know, over the last, as we always talk about, the last dozen years, where you get seeded in the playoffs determines just about everything. And so that game, that week 17 game up in Seattle, in late December a couple years ago, decided everything. The Niners don't go to the playoffs if the Seahawks, what was it, scored it? Yeah, scored on the last play of the game.
Then, inches away.
That swung everything, right.
Mina, why don't Dave took a swipe at your Seahawks. We're going to let you retaliate. to hit for his Steelers and my Cowboys. I do want to know, although I do, I saw your interview and I found out, and I agree with you, what the Cowboys should do in the 10th spot. I think they go defensively. I know Kyle Pitts said, talk about Pitts, a freak of an athlete, best athlete on the board, best player on the board. If he's there, they have to take him, even with all the offensive weapons. But I was looking, and Jerry Jones is apparently infatuated with him, but he should also be infatuated with not giving up 50 points a game. I mean, from weeks 2 to 6, they allowed 44 points a game, and that doesn't just get better. I think they have to address defensive concerns. Patrick Surtain right there, I think, is favored to be the Cowboys pick. J.C. Horn, another cornerback, is right there. You agree, right? Defensive pick, and yeah. Don't trade up.
Yeah, if Pitts was fell to them, I would take, just because I think he's a generational prospect. Any new adjective for that? Maybe, Dave, you can help me. You're good with words. Transcendent.
I know we do use generational too much officially at this
era point. Agnostic, maybe. But anyways,
by definition, if you are a generational player, then there you are only one at that position.
Yeah, generation is now like every universal 5 or 6 years now, right?
How about all galaxy instead of all pro? He's gold, an all galaxy standard prospect. Gold standard. That's good too.
Ooh, I have a good one. Elite.
Oh, I haven't heard that. That would work. So yeah, he's elite, but yeah, you can't weigh too many needs on that deal. Like, I was putting together my team needs sheet for going into the draft, and Cowboys, it's literally every position on defense. You either need a starter or depth, in my opinion. I think on offense, it's really just depth at the line. So there's just way too many issues on that defense to not address it or to trade up for an offensive player. I like Dallas because I think that defense, so many of the problems with that team last year were coaching and execution. And those are the kind of teams I like to bet on to come back.
Yeah.
Obviously, they've got a coordinator. All right. They had some injuries, some COVID issues, high end in Dallas. Less high on the Pittsburgh Steelers
because
they're weakened at Bernie's approach to quarterback.
Oh,
it doesn't work for me.
I love it.
Wait, what did you say? So I want that good and clean because I want to remember it for all of time.
Oh, I'm happy to do this because I made this call in like week 5 or 4 last year when the Steelers were. Where's my parade for being right about Ben Roethlisberger being washed?
But I. Okay. No.
We can't have parades, guys.
You observed what was empirically true. Roethlisberger was dinking and dunking his way, but. But no matter, because they were winning every week. So that was fine.
I got emails. Ben Roethlisberger could still throw a deep ball. What do you know?
Like, not for me. Okay.
He can throw it deep, but it's not going to go anywhere near the wide receiver.
That's true. But good. You know what? You know good. What, Kimes? You may have gone to an Ivy League school, but it doesn't make you a doctor. I'm not one either. And I don't think Sal is, unless maybe he did that before or after law school. The thing that we really legitimately, that nobody has answered for me, and I've floated it out there and I've asked people adjacent to the medical field, including my own father, like, is it the same as an ACL? Is it in year 2 after?
Are you talking about the?
Yes. A year 2 after major surgery, does it get better like an ACL does for players? If it does, and he's able to return to being one of the half dozen best deep ball throwers on the planet Earth, then they have no issue whatsoever at QB. And the greater issue is clearly not the quarterback. It is the state, or was the state, of the offensive line and the complete lack of a run game. Not to mention probably not being terribly flexible philosophically about what he was willing to do offensively. And that's the other big question with Roethlisberger in 2021. Will he abide by Matt Canada's offensive choices instead of steamrolling them and checking out of them at the line? Those are the big questions. The sky is falling thing for Pittsburgh, I am not going to buy into. And Sal can tell you, I am way more pessimistic about my teams than I am optimistic, generally speaking.
It's a tough division. But yeah, the line is the problem. I've seen these mocks out here with the Steelers taking like a running back. And I'm like, well, a running back? Behind whom is this? Is this hypothetical running back, Najee Harris or whoever, running? The line is just that's the big issue with Pittsburgh. I agree with you.
Dave says he's not embracing the sky is falling then. But when we talk about who's going to win the AFC North, the Steelers don't even come up in the conversation. He likes the Browns, and then the Ravens potentially could knock off the Browns. Do you even have the Steelers third, Dave?
Sal, I like the sweet spot of low expectation. It's how I've lived my entire life, and it's met with middling results. So why shouldn't I apply the same standard to the Pittsburgh Steelers here in 2021? Yes, this sets up nicely. I'd rather the Cleveland Browns are the team that we're all in fear of. That's fine with me. That's what I want. And do you agree, though, legitimately, I think, given the roster, and if you can wash off the last 50 years of stink, the Browns' stand is, you know, if you look at what have you done for me lately, the Browns would appear to be the class of that division, not the Baltimore Ravens. Mm. And I have more concerns about the Ravens in year 3.5 of Lamar Jackson and that offense, their inability to get a wide receiver, and the diminishment of the front seven, which is everything for Baltimore's defense. How say you?
Yeah, I think that's the Ravens, my biggest concern with the team is there are still holes in the roster going into the draft. Like when you have two positions you really need to address, wide receiver and edge rusher in this case, having lost, you know, a lot of the talent in that front seven, you start getting worried about, is this really a playoff team? I think the Cleveland Browns have the better roster and the Ravens have the plus quarterback who can at times like really elevate the team and do crazy things. And it becomes a kind of a question of which one matters more. I don't know. I think we'll see early on with Baltimore if the offense looks as stale as it did last season at times, particularly obviously the pass game. But people forget in 2019, that team had the pass game was electric. It's not like, you know, they couldn't pass the ball at all for 2 years. So I'll be very curious to see. They hired a new pass game coordinator. I think it was Devontae Adams, wide receiver coach, a guy who's coached a lot of the better wide receivers in the NFL. If that makes any difference, I think we'll see it early on. And if not early on, then I would go all in on Cleveland.
Interesting. Yeah, they're talking about Antonio Brown working out with the team and everything. Maybe it is just someone like that who can make a difference. I don't know what the answer is with Lamar Jackson. Like, if what makes him better, right? He's such an enigma back there, and he does things his own way. So I'm not sure even what type of receiver would be great, but they are like one little piece away from getting back, I think, to 10, 11, 12.
I mean, if they could swing something to get Kyle Pitts, and that's why they went hard after Juju Smith-Schuster. Sure. That's what they need. They need those guys that destroy the seams. And if you throw him, it's imperfect when a clunky tight end, an undrafted tight end, a low pedigree tight end is your go-to option in the past. I mean, Mark Andrews is very nice, but they need another guy.
That's
to do that. I mean, it's bad. I really do think it's diminishing returns for that offense, and it should be a red flag. And the Ravens in their personnel department understood 2 years ago the potential liability of this is attracting pass catchers who want to be a part of this offense in pro football. And now we see the results. People don't want to be a part of this. If you have a choice, go somewhere where you might get a pro level number of targets, not in that.
Yeah. I guess Juju really just wanted those 6 yard hospital balls over the middle of the field from on the Stavenge tour.
What a stinker.
That's good. You know. See, that's what I was waiting for. That's good.
Okay. Kaim, say it. I want you to say, get on the record. This is an important one to weigh in on now.
What do you want me to say?
Go ahead. I mean, I know it's...
Ben's washed. I've been saying that out loud for a year.
Okay.
I'm happy. Wow. I'll say it with my chest. Pittsburgh fans, come at me.
Washed means... Okay, in a quarterback league, though, that means... And this is the thing, Sal, that we go back and forth on all the time, is QB wins. Like, they either matter or they don't. He's never had a losing season. Are you going to predict that...
QB wins.
If he's washed, if he's washed, and the roster is at in the state it is, which is everybody keeps so many losses on defense and blah the offensive line. Like, well, then they certainly have to go 7-9 or worse, right? In a tough.
You
division.
Want a record prediction for Pittsburgh from
7
me?
And Not 10.
You don't have to say a record. I'm just saying, are you going to say if in the quarterback league, then the Steelers certainly can't be a playoff team if they have a bum at QB, right?
Keep in mind, Dave's got him in third place now, so you're not really offended.
No, I may end up, Sal, depending on the draft. They may well end up being my second team out of the North.
Okay.
I'll go with a smooth 7-10.
Oh, yeah, right.
The Venge 7-10.
I like the way that sounds.
7-10.
8-9, Dave. Then Tomlin could say, hey, I still have the 8-win thing. I never get fewer than 8 wins, but he's 8-9 now instead of 8-8.
I don't like that. 9-8. Ugh.
Well, I love that we're talking about this. I really do. The NFL draft, I feel like, you know, there's four different stops before we get to the season. The NFL draft being one, preseason, when the fantasy football magazines first come out, that's a big milestone, although now everything's online. But I know you appreciate it as much as anyone, Mina. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
What do you have to plug? Tell us all. Oh, yeah. Everybody can see you.
My podcast is Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny. Yeah. My co-host, who's in one of his many beds behind me right now. And we're covering the draft. We're doing a lot of draft previews at the moment, going through the offensive and defensive stars. This week's defense, just finished watching the DBs. Pretty excited about that. Your future cornerback, Patrick Surtain II. Very impressed by him. So yeah, check it out wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Buy low on the Cowboys, sell
Dude, you know I'm a Dak lover, so I'm always buying Dak.
I feel like
it's me against Dan Orlovsky. I'm the Dak lover and Dak fighter. So,
and it seems like I went through the same thing as like just fending off people like, oh, Dak could go to the Bears. Dak could go. I was like, no, Dak's not going out. You went through the same thing with Russell Wilson. They're not going anywhere. I know, Dave, this is. You look at their stats. This is the biggest case against QB wins. These guys are having their best years ever, Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott, and they're out of that 3 to 4 year window. So,
my point about QB wins is you cannot be on a perennial loser if you are a high end quarterback.
Drew Brees, very different from wins in a quarterback stat. That's just like
one everybody held up, and it's a completely different. Conversation. I mean to drag us down with a Deshaun Watson reference, but for all the Deshaun Watson, look at him stuck in Houston. It would be another thing if it were year three of him being on a loser. It just doesn't happen. High end quarterbacks in the 21st century are not on a protracted loser. That means the QB wins are a thing. But your podcast maybe should be. I figured it out. It's In the Mina Time. In the Mina Time. What do you think of that, Kimes?
I don't understand it. In the Mina Time.
Just nod. It's such a quicker way to get off.
And right, I'm gonna pull my powerful vote to have I've advocated before for the Monday Night Football booth, an analyst booth, a three-person booth of, I don't care who, Matt Money Smith, let's put him in there as your play-by-play guy, and then Mina Kimes and Ryan Clark, and then we all ascend to Cloud 9 as we watch football games. That would be a great
one. We're going to Cleveland. Ryan and I and Dan and Laura and Marcus to cover the draft together, so check it out.
How are you? Excellent, yes.
Well, is that Lena Time? What are you going for, Dave? Lena Time?
I didn't understand.
In the meantime. Oh, in the Mina Time.
In the Mina Time.
What do you mean you don't get it, Mina? It's like being named Amy and not knowing there's a song named Amy. That's weird. You didn't get
it's tough because you're doing a variation of both words and
I hate to do this. This is the first guest I have to do this with, Sal, but I'm sorry, but Mina is now suspended. I only like to do it to listeners, but I didn't like that was a second shot, and that I won't stand for.
Let's give her a chance, though, Dave, to remean a time. No, see, I'm just gonna let that go. Ranch on pizza or no ranch on pizza? I like your initial reaction there. I think
I would dip the crust in the ranch, but not put the ranch on the actual pizza.
We had a poll here, and I thought it would be overwhelmingly in favor of no ranch, and it was like 54-46 only, way too close for my and Dave's liking, that people were against ranch. But God, there it is.
Seen it.
If you didn't believe it, we have the visual.
I know you're right. We did lead the witness a little bit, but even so, it's a small margin. I would say dip the crust is more acceptable than what I've seen, Dave. People just slathering it with ranch over the top, over the pepperoni and cheese and sauce and everything. But
It speaks to one in a world that offers blue cheese dressing. He or she who would choose the ranch willfully indicates self-esteem issues.
Okay.
I love blue cheese. So,
See, there you go. Yeah, you go blue cheese over ranch. As long as that's your standing philosophy,
there you go.
We're okay, but you're still suspended.
You can hear her.
I'll be back on my Savenge tour.
We'll see.
She'll be back. Mina and Lenny, you could see them dipping crust into ranch dressing.
On the next, in the Mina time.
No, still not working.
Check her out on ESPN. Mina, thanks so much. I'm counting this as meeting you, okay?
Me too.
This is nice.
Mina too, see?
I didn't say that. And again, you can't. It's not happening. It's not.
Suspended.
Thanks for coming on, Mina. Appreciate it.
Hi, guys.
That was great. Thanks again.
No problem. Thanks for having me. I gotta walk my pupper.
Thanks, Mina. Yeah, have a good time in Cleveland.
Oh, I will.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Thanks. Talk to you later.
Well, Mina's great, Dave. There you go. I've met her now.
I know. Good. Is she now? Let's just keep it updated so you can keep things keep these things clean in your own brain. Is she now the front runner for your favorite new person you met this year?
I think she is. I have to come to terms with the fact that Zoom counts as meeting somebody in these uncertain times. But yeah, she's the front runner. And now we're almost a third of the year.
Right. I mean, listen, we're through one. We're beyond one quarter of the calendar year. And as far as that goes, I have a nice little announcement update. The Envy Apple. The 2020 Shecky Award winner for Fruit of the Year I'm trying to think, like, what did the Yankees do in year two after, you know, some teams, like, it's like, we did it. We finally won the championship. And then they regress a little bit because they've been partying too hard. Oh, and then others, the true dynasties, they get better in year two. That's what the Envy Apple is doing. Be careful, rest of the fruit world. Or this thing is just going to be a blowout and it's going to be embarrassing for you.
I feel bad. I know Mina had to walk her dog, but she should have really stuck around for that. I mean, the Apple talk. By the way, Joel pulled this up. Dave, you drafted Trey Lance as the third pick. That's not right. What are you doing? Is that right, Joel? Why do you have 125 in parentheses? That wasn't plus 125, was it? Back then?
That's what it has on this chart. But yeah,
really? And Jamar Chase as the third pick. He bet both guys as the third pick?
That's right.
I don't know that you're reading.
Because the Dolphins had the third pick. That's why.
Oh, right. Okay.
Things have changed considerably since we did this draft. Dang.
You thought they'd take Trey Lance with the...
No, I thought the Dolphins at three would take Jamar Chase. That's what I thought.
Okay. We got to look at this.
Sal, did Dave draft Illinois to make the Final Four?
Yes, he
did. Okay, then I'm looking at the right thing.
I'm the only one with a winner so far. Yes, and Baylor doing the whole thing. But it doesn't matter, right? Some horse is going to win, and that'll be that for this. Baseball. Excited that baseball's back. My Mets, I don't know. The Mets have played 2 weeks, basically, and they have two wins. And yet, I guess that's not that bad. They're 2-3, but... Either way, there's nothing like watching a game, great weather, a cold drink. Maybe you grab a gal, you make out in the mezzanine, Dave. I don't know. Whatever you're into,
it's free country.
With a little action on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've never bet on baseball before, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. FanDuel, letting new users swing for the fences risk-free. You'll get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. And once you have an account, you can get up to $25 back each day if your same game parlay bet falls one leg short. This is like a participation trophy I don't know. It's like shooting it to the moon, Dave. Like, oh, you only went 3 out of 4 in a parlay? Here's your money back. I don't know. They're very generous, these FanDuel people, but I'm not sure I agree with the message. Either way, you can combine multiple baseball bets for an even bigger win all season long. There's a reason FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. The app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique, fun bet types like same game parlays, and always on promotions to let you get more action out of every game day. And when you win, FanDuel pays you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Download FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code EXTRAPOINTS to get in on the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code extra points. Yeah, I don't know. Your Pirates have, I'm trying to think, where are they in the standings?
Well, they won a couple against the Cubbies, which has got to be the greatest humiliation a pro ball player can suffer, is to lose a series to the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's right. Crazy. I feel bad for your guy, DeGrom, officially. Now, it's hard to feel bad this for guys ridiculous. Who are worth that level of money, but I really do think he's in the conversation, and I really do, as you know, I like my lists, and I like to contextualize with history. We got to get to the bottom of just how rotten this is for DeGrom at this point. I mean, people like to hold up guys like Archie Manning, and, you know, if he would have been on a decent team, not the Saints, he would have been a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Maybe or maybe not true, but DeGrom probably is tracking to the Hall of Fame. And
I think he is. I mean, he's going to have 40 wins and make the Hall of Fame. It's crazy.
It really is getting to be. I mean, really, who's up there? I mean, I of course, I'm inclined to offer up Mario Lemieux for the first 5 years of his career, but at least he ended up, you know, getting some cups there. Is it ever going to turn around for DeGrom to be,
I don't know,
the best in the sport and yet never be able to win a dozen games kind of thing?
I mean, also, another good question, is it possible he slept to have slept with every teammate's mother?
Yes.
I don't get it. Why do they hate this guy so much? He's batting 600 himself. The rest of the team is batting 189, and you just know it. You know, it's 2-0 in the sixth. They're losing. It's like, oh, they're not going to come back. They're not going to put up a six spot in the seventh inning here. I feel awful for him. Let's take a look at the odds. Your team is 3-6. At least you're playing games, Dave. You're playing games and also playing games. Dodgers 8-2. They lead the National League. What am I looking at here? Those Astros got off to a good start. They're 6-3 now. Red Sox, surprisingly, we can't have them be good, Dave.
No, indeed.
They're 6-3. We have too many a-hole.
But we're cool with, I mean, like, I like that if there has been, as we, you know, I think we've talked about right when we first started the show back in July, we were talking about COVID has been terrible, but there have been some beneficiaries of it. And I think the Astros are it. You know, that this is like that we've reached this place where now that there are fans in the stands, like, I don't know if it's appropriate to boo them. Like, yep, still, yeah, they delayed. They got COVID allowed them a year delay, but that does not get them off the hook. They should be booed roundly, and it should stay as fervent a booing for at least the next 5 years. How say you?
I think they did a smart thing. They hired Dusty Baker, who's a likable guy and kind of takes them away from all that bad publicity and stuff. But yeah, I don't think they should get off the hook. Like AJ Hinch is managing in the league. Like it's very weird to me that we've moved on from it. And I think the wink, wink, nod, nod answer is all these teams do it, but the Astros got caught. I think that's maybe why they're getting a little bit of a pass here, but I don't know. I want to see those OPSs match up. You looked at Bregman. You looked at Altuve. Those numbers went down considerably last year. All right, in a shortened season, it was 60 games. But I need them to come back to 2019, 2018 form before I'll believe that that much of a difference.
Yes, first of all, I like them hearing it because they didn't hear it a year ago, like we say, because there weren't fans in the stands, so they kind of escaped it. They deserve it. And beyond that, it's the same thing as Belichick's Patriots and otherwise. Mm-hmm. We talked about it. Kevin Hench and me chopped it up on -3 last week. Again, as a reminder, you do not need Hall of Fame. You don't, whatever standard you're applying, like, or should we asterisk them? Should we keep them out? Should they be booed? It doesn't make a difference if you put an actual asterisk. In our minds, it's already there. Sorry, Astros fans. You can try and say, leave it alone. No, guess what? When we think of the Astros winning that World Series, we will always associate it with your cheating. Same thing as you, Belichick, and Patriots fans. You may not like it. Hey, best team ever. Yeah, but what we think about is Deflategate and videotapes, and you can argue against it all you want. That's what we'll always think of. Congratulations.
I agree. 15-1 odds, according to FanDuel, to win the World Series. Dodgers still at the top, +350. The Yankees, +550. I like when they lose. It's so much fun watching them lose.
It is nice.
Padres, 9-1.
One thing I want to throw in for you.
Mets somehow 10-1. I don't know why.
Who's 10-1?
The Mets are somehow 10-1. They never played.
I mean, come on. They've played five games now. Right. Let's everybody relax. Everybody on both right. sides of this thing in New York baseball fan circles. Relax, everybody. The 162 games is 162 games. It's barely even started. What's a fun bet, though, on FanDuel, baseball's fun. Sal, I think I've landed on what is one of the most enjoyable things. Betting on individual guys to score goals in the NHL. Pick a guy. The odds are all super fun. Don't pick the star of the team because those aren't juicy. But otherwise, look up and down the roster. Have some fun. Look who's taking shifts with the star of the team. Look who's on the power play. Who's the fifth guy, the second defenseman on any power play. Put a little something on him. You can, you get like plus 500 odds on this. It's super fun because it's so elementary a sport. You're all you can watch, even if you don't care about the game or gambling. It'll engage you in both because you just watch like, I have 18. I hope he scores a goal at some point in the next 60 minutes. It's a fun watch.
I love the player props. I'm going to be honest. I haven't been an NBA game in a very long time. And you can look at Fox Bet Live, what I do. I just stay away from it. It's so crazy. I mean, the Lakers go to New Jersey without LeBron, without AD, they win by double digits, and it wasn't even close. So that's the NBA regular season. What I do rather, I'd rather play the player props though. I lose those too, but it's fun. It is fun, and I think with the NHL, I want to try it with the NHL because you can kind of manipulate it. I know they'll change the odds accordingly, but if you pick a game, a player in a game where the over under is 6.5, for instance, Maple Leafs. Canadians today versus something that's 5.5. You got a little bit of a goal to, you have a goal to play with, right? So Austin Matthews, all right. So the way, there you go. Austin Matthews to score would be plus 106. You're saying stay away from something like that.
Well, that's a fun one at plus 106. I mean, right. Nobody's going to be so prohibitively, I mean, because scoring a single goal in an NHL game ain't a breeze. So even the stars are the odds are much lower, but you still can win a little something. Austin Matthews is obviously a fun watch, but look at Mitch Marner. Maybe I bet the odds are at least double that, if not three times that for Austin Matthews. And he's out there on the ice with him and he's setting up Austin Matthews all the time. He's no slouch himself at putting the puck in the
Mitch
goal.
Mitch Marner plus 225 to
say,
score
there you goal. Go. I said double that. And it really, like I say, just reduces the whole game to, I hope that guy scores a goal and and you're in it the entire game watching it. And you just need one bounce to be a winner. It's very satisfying in that regard. It doesn't rely on anything other than just that one guy banging one puck in past the goalie and you're a winner. And it was a delightful watch.
You would love this bet in soccer. You get 8 to 10 to 1 odds on anybody. Get the golden boot.
I mean, listen, if you're just getting into gambling, I feel like this is a great training wheels way to go. Cause I have found it delightful myself.
Right. Yeah. Lakers beat the Nets. It's very weird. I wanted to ask Mina on that. Cause she turned heel and picked the Nets to go far. But this could be a turning point game a little bit. Kyrie and Dennis Schroeder had that scuffle, both thrown out of the game. Like I said, the Lakers beat up on the Nets. Drummond went crazy. It makes you think maybe Jersey, the whole lack of defense thing, could rear its ugly head in 17 months when they actually play some playoff games here. And then Kyrie sat yesterday, right? Joel, did he sit yesterday? And it may have been for personal issues. And it may have been because of the Schroeder scuffle. Like, I don't know what goes on in this league. I don't know what this guy's going to do once basketball's over. It feels like it's saving his life. But
I feel like that, I've declared I'm all in on the Nets at this point. If you have their big three healthy with the depth otherwise that they've now more or less created on the roster, I think that they are a cinch to win it. At minimum, they get to the finals. And if the Lakers are there, that's the one team that can derail them for the reason you just cited, that the matchup, the stylistic matchup would be too much maybe for the Nets with the front line that the Lakers theoretically can throw at them if all three of those big hypothetical front line is intact for the finals. That's the only way they're going to get to the finals.
I mean, I get that Brooklyn.
It's that they're
be
all three head cases on some level, right? Harden, Kyrie, and KD. What the thing that could derail the Nets is the mindset of any or all of those three guys. That's it.
I'm looking at it now, and I get it. It comes out to who's a tougher out, but Sixers and Nets are tied at 36-17, 36-17, tied atop the Eastern Conference. And yet, if you look at odds for them to win the championship, the Nets are the favorite at plus 230. Sixers way down the line at 14-1 odds.
Huh.
My God, we might be overlooking something. Lakers second, plus 350. Clippers 6-1. The odds makers are not taking into account the Lakers' misfortune of late, aside from the Saturday night game. They are still second at plus 350. And the Jazz, who just never lose at home, plus 750. That's fun. And it looks like they're going to be number one seed. I mean, they're now really pulling away from the pack. But for God's sake, there's 18 games left.
Yeah, we say it all the time. But it really, I mean, these NBA playoffs are setting up to be juicy. Really, this is going to be, I know you're a little down on the spring.
We need to get there. It's 6 weeks. 6 weeks still.
Yeah, well, we got a month left of the NHL still. You're right. I hear you. We've got to get through this month. Now that the green jacket has been settled for another year, we'll focus in on salad dressings in the next 3 or 4 weeks. And before we'll be in the playoffs. We have an NFL draft to tend to, Sal. We're going to get there. Don't worry. Chin up.
All right. Okay. Hey, the new Crown Royal TV spots, Dave, remind fans to stay hydrated and stay royal and to not be that person that ruins the game day experience for friends and family. So now we have to crown our Crown Royal Athlete of the Week. We've done this for many, many weeks now. You doubled up with Jokic a couple of weeks ago. You love this guy's play.
Well, he's so fun. Yeah.
Let's do this. My Crown Royal Athlete of the Week, Bianca Belair. Oh, yeah. You know who this is, Dave? She's a WWE Women's Champ. She's an
athlete.
I looked
her up because you mentioned her, but yeah.
I have no trouble labeling her Athlete of the Week, right? She's a track star at Texas A&M, South Carolina, and Tennessee, three universities. She beat Sasha Banks in front of 25,000 fans at Raymond James Stadium. There you go. Sasha Banks, two African-American female wrestlers in the main event. Good job by you, Bianca Belair. And Dave, she has a ponytail about 4.5 feet long. And this Sasha Banks will just pull on it and pull it. It would seem like a disadvantage in a wrestling match, much like Mike Rotundo used to wear a tie when he went as IRS, right? Do we remember the Irwin R. Scheister? And I was like, oh, why is he doing that? He's getting swung around the ring. It didn't matter on Saturday night as Bianca Belair, became the women's champ of the WWE. I wish I could bet this on FanDuel. There's no bet boost. I'm not sure why. But congratulations. Good job by you, Bianca Belair, my Crown Royal Athlete of the Week. Dave, who are you taking?
I'm going to go with Joe Musgrove. He threw a no-no, the first ever in San Diego Padres history. It's a nice story. He's a San Diego kid. Like I say, the franchise's first ever. But of course, any major league pitcher is guaranteed a happily ever after, so long as their origin story is rooted in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and wearing a Pittsburgh Pirates uniform. Of course, if you're a starting pitcher, you are destined for greatness as long as you spend a little bit of time in Pittsburgh purgatory pitching for the Buccos there. Look at Garrett Cole, the best pitcher in baseball. Look at Tyler Glasnow, who was shipped away to Tampa Bay and has been dominant. It really peaked in 2019 when Garrett Cole and Tyler Glasnow went head-to-head in a postseason game. Both Buccos, former Buccos, the worst team in baseball, now at its highest level, out on the bump. Go back and look at Chaz Morton did it, all the way back to Joe Schmidt. Congratulations, Musgrove. And in advance, congratulations to you, Mitch Keller. You're destined to be a staff ace worth about $200 million in about, 2 to 5 years. Muzzle
should
tub
they
in advance.
Should they change the sign? What does the sign say when you drive into Pittsburgh? Like maybe it should welcome, sensational pitchers. Yeah.
Yeah. Future 100 millionaires. Guess what? You're going to pitch and you're going to win about two games. You're going to have the winning percentage of Jake DeGrom. Mm-hmm. But as long as it's like they say about what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. if it doesn't kill you to pitch for the Pittsburgh Pirates, you're going to be richer on the other side. So right. Muzzle tough to you, Joe Musgrove.
What are the odds? It was a great moment. It was an exciting moment. But what have they been around since 1969, the Padres, or 62? Was it the Padres? Well, let me see.
69 sounds right.
69. I think that was the second. It was like Padres and Mariners. Was that that expansion?
Yeah, I don't think 62. Yeah, they 69, they right. come in as the Pilots, right?
The and Mets were 62, right. The Padres were in 69. And so now that is how many years? Do the math. I can't do the math. That's 52
years.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's insanity. And yet I'm trying to think of like their best pitchers who it's over the years. Not that that matters. Was Randy
those
Jones.
Kind of those Randy kind of Jones franchise droughts are weird. Like I'm trying to think. I think now every NFL team has had a kick return for a touchdown. But there were, I can't remember even who it was, but that always stood out to me.
Buccaneers, right?
Is that who it was? It would be one of those mentions you would hear every couple times a year about like, this team has, believe it or not, never had it. Like, what? How could that be? Never once anybody did it?
I think it was them, the Buccaneers, and they also had a weird distinction that they hadn't won in cold weather. I don't even remember what the temperature was.
They were in the NFC Central, mind you. It would be right. one thing if they played the majority of their games south of the Mason-Dixon line, but they were playing the Bears and the Packers and the Vikings, and when the Vikings were still playing in the Met in the old NFC Central, and they never won a game under 40 degrees.
Yes, that's what it was. 40. Jesus, 40. That's crazy.
40, it went on forever. Not even like and the 5 Saints, degrees. The Saints went forever as a franchise without having a winning season. They couldn't get over the hump forever. Right. With that. Yeah, those weird franchise long droughts. Fulton Walker, first ever guy to not really applicable to our conversation, but it's in my brain now, and I must say it, is Fulton Walker. First kickoff return in a Super Bowl for a touchdown. A good piece of trivia. Super Bowl 17 against Washington.
There you go.
41.
There weren't too many, right? I think Devin Hester started the game with one. But
Devin Hester had one. I think, I don't remember who it was, though, but somebody did it for the Ravens in the year 2000 Super Bowl, right? Who was that? How can I not think of who it was?
With a J, right? Was it two Js? What's the name?
Yes. Why can't I think of his name?
Come on, Joel. Joel, you're with a J too.
Jacoby Jones.
Worst Super Bowl ever.
Jacoby Jones. That's right. Nice job.
Oh, Jacoby Jones did it for the Ravens. Right. Well, I'm thinking of the year 2000 against the Giants, but right. You know, the Jacoby Jones did it in what should have been his MVP game. Instead, they gave it to Flacco. But right, Jacoby Jones, two touchdowns, including a kickoff return.
Yeah. All right. That was a Crown Royal water break. Moderate your drinking on game day. Stay hydrated. Stay royal. For more tips on how to crown your game day, visit at Crown Royal on Instagram. Dave, what else do we have? You didn't watch. I mentioned Bianca Belair for WrestleMania. You didn't watch that much.
No, but I did. Yeah. I did see The Miz on Kimmel. That was funny stuff. He's
really
good fella. He's great. He's a Browns fan. Mazel tov to him and all of that. But we're continuing to get right for the NFL draft. We're focusing in real good. I know Sal doesn't love it, but boy, I just love this. And like I mentioned, with the gambling on the player props. Yeah. What's satisfying too is what is a truth in the NHL, at least in my brain, if not on the actual, if the stats don't bear this out, I feel like certain guys play well against certain teams. And when you're playing the same seven teams over and over again, you can kind of zero in on, boy, that guy has scored 6 goals against that team and they're about to play them again. That's a good one to place a wager on. We're getting you right for all that stuff on -3. Make sure you download, subscribe, and otherwise we appreciate you doing so.
You're not going to like this, Dave, but what I would do with the hockey, now that I remember, I haven't done this in years, but what I would do is I'm no fun. I would parlay guys on the second line basically to not score a goal. So they're -700s and I would get like 4 of them together. and parlay them to not score a goal to try to get it to even odds. That's no fun. I'm just rooting against the number.
They score goals now, Sal. It's not 15 years ago. They're scoring more goals these days.
Believe me, I know. I would lose on a lot of them. But yes, it's going to be interesting to see how this playing the same team over and over translates to the playoffs.
I cannot wait, maybe a one seed for the playoffs. They're going to be so good.
Well, you're going to have to wait because we're freaking 4 weeks away. What are we doing? Let's just fast forward. Let's get there already.
Avalanche, Lightning, Toronto or Edmonton, and let's do it. There's no way playoffs, that as you boil it down to that final four, if the best teams from each division can just get there, it's going to be classic stuff.
You're setting yourself up for major disappointment here.
I know
the best teams from each division can get there. No, but keep watching, keep listening. Jim, I did want to ask you about this Bad Bunny. Did you watch him? Who is he? He's a singer? He's a YouTuber? I sound like an old man.
Yeah, I didn't know who he was. I thought Bad Bunny was the Catch Me Outside girl, but apparently it's a rapper.
Yes. Yes, and but is it Latin? Is he Latin? I don't know. I'm not sure. I have to read up on this.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You know what? Now that you bring Jim up, it reminds me. I forgot to mention him when I was talking about the Pirates there, Sal. Mm-hmm. I think it's crazy. First of all, Jim, will you pull up the guy, the Pirates logo? They've moved on from him, but this guy drives me crazy. Same as the Oakland Raiders guy. Their logo with, you know, he's got the eye patch and, you know, the one eye closed, which is very strange stuff. And as I've mentioned before, I don't know any Raider, which is a pirate, who starts his day by shaving his face clean. But the Pittsburgh Pirate, take a look at this guy. You got him, Jim?
Who, that's their mascot? Isn't it a parrot? What do you mean?
No, I mean the face on the mascot in the 70s when we were growing up. He's a clean shaven man and he's smirking. No, the guy I sent you, Jim. Never mind.
He's thinking of Bad Bunny here. He's all confused.
All right, I'll show him later. I just think it's a little weird that guy looks less like a pirate than podcast producer Jim Cunningham looks like a pirate. Wow. Something's wrong. Something's upside down. We live in a bizarro world here, Sal, where the Browns are favored to win the AFC North, and Jim Cunningham looks more like a pirate than actual Pittsburgh Pirate.
That's true. Well, we had the great Mina Kimes on to set it all straight. She did her best, but yes, there's still a lot of outstanding issues with Ranch and the Pirates mascot and why Jacob DeGrom, why the Mets will never, ever, ever hit for him. But maybe things are coming into shape. -3, Dave, twice a week. You have one early in the week. You have one later in the week. We are against all odds tomorrow and later in the week. And you talk about The Miz. I think I'm going to have him on with Brian Gewirtz. They're longtime rivals. Brian was a writer for the WWE, and The Miz just takes so many shots. By the way, Dave, that League of Leagues, which you claim you invented.
I mean, I don't understand claim. Of course, I mean, claim I did invent it, but okay, go ahead.
All right, we're going to have Toby on to dispute this, but Miz won the league. You know how hard it is to win that thing, right? Like, you're sitting there with fantasy baseball guys who won like $100,000 in a tournament. There'll be one of those guys on your right. On your left, there'll be a guy who's in 19 fantasy baseball leagues. You don't have a shot, right? Especially at baseball. They have guys that, you know, they have insight on guys hitting off a tee, like 8-year-olds that they're going to draft, you know. But Miz won the whole thing last year.
Wow.
And he wants to come on and brag, and I guess brag about his WrestleMania loss. I don't know, but I want to do that, set that up hopefully later in the week. You got Lemon Pepper Parlay. You got the Betting Academy. Card Wars. Paul LaDuca. Happy birthday, Paul LaDuca. He and Caleb Keller took a trip to that store. What is that in Kentucky, Joel Solomon? That's a great store.
It's called the Kentucky Roadshow.
Kentucky Roadshow. And he pulled a $1,000 card for me last week. A LeBron James emulating Kobe's dunk. It was in a $125 pack. This kind of works. I don't know. I might actually make money out of this. So this is going
to
be fun.
It's good fun to follow along. That's for sure.
Yes. ExtraPoints.com. Free picks every day. Laugh lines. So much going on. Reminder to everyone out there. You may feel like an underdog, but please remember, you're all my favorites.